They'll talk Ohio State football when we're done at 6 o'clock tonight on the Ryan Day Show, but we're going to talk Ohio State football right now as we bring in Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV down in Columbus. Dunny, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you today?
Doing all right. How are you guys up in the Cleveland area in Elyria?
We are doing very well, and I'm sure...
Are you guys melting like we are down here?
It's not as bad today. Boy, we were in some pretty interesting and unusual territory a couple days ago, but temperatures tomorrow are supposed to be in the high 50s, so it's going to finally feel like the fall time, which will be nice.
Oh, yeah. I just got done with shooting a high school football preview, and I mean, it still felt like 110 degrees on the field, and it was... The humidity, it feels like it's August. It doesn't feel like it's September yet, let alone it's October.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe we're 3 days in already, but tomorrow should be a totally different story. Although, last week, there were no different stories being told in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I think I've asked this a few times before, but, boy, did the complete dominance of the Buckeyes in that game surprise you at least a little bit?
It surprised a lot of people. How they were able to play and the offensive line, how they were able to block. I mean, Justin Fields had enough time in there to grill a steak with all the trimmings, with the potatoes and the veg, eat it, and then throw a 30-yard touchdown pass. And he had so much time back there. It's not even funny. The offensive line opened up holes two Mack trucks side by side could have run through for J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague. They were my stars of the game just because of how they played, how much time they gave everybody, how big the holes were. And this is a Big Ten defensive line in Nebraska that people were talking about beginning of the year that could be a dark horse for the best defensive line in the conference.
Donnie, are you starting to see, is it just a different Ohio State team as far as personnel, or are you starting to see a new Ohio State type of team under Coach Ryan Day?
Well, it depends. I think it's a little bit of both. When it's a new offense, and especially defense with Ryan Day at the helm, when you look at defense, they've added the zone coverage, which is something Urban Meyer never did. When Urban Meyer was coach, defense was always tight man coverage. Now they added a little bit of zone. They moved the linebackers back to the linebacker position instead of having them up at the line. And you see now the linebackers just running to the ball instead of being caught at the line of scrimmage. So defensively, it's a little bit different than when it's been in years past. Offensively, it's kind of Justin Fields is a lot farther along than anyone anticipated. Even the coaches have said that he is a lot farther along than they anticipated. When you look at that, what do you stop? If you try to stop J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague and just running, he hits you over the top with the throw. If you try to stop the pass game, boom, that opens up J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague. And then you have just the unknown in Justin Fields. And he can run, he can pass. And we completely forgot he can run the ball until he started running it on design quarterback runs against Nebraska and burned them for the first touchdown in the game and a 41-yard run a little bit later, and a 14-yard run on 3rd and 8 that was a designed quarterback, not even a draw, a quarterback sweep to the right-hand side that got him a first down. To me, those three things, that's the difference when you have somebody that can run and you don't know what they're going to run next.
Let's stick with the dominance of that running game for just another minute here. I mean, they only attempted, I believe, 22 passes in that game, and they ran the ball a ton. A total of 53 carries, and they averaged nearly 7 yards per tote. Donnie, those are amazing numbers. And when you look at that box score, like you were mentioning earlier, a lot of people thought that this Nebraska defensive line was the best in the Big Ten. I mean, when you look at those numbers, you can't help but come away incredibly impressed, especially when you consider the environment as well.
No doubt about it. When you're on the road, first really big road test in the Big Ten, you can say all you want about Indiana. Yes, it was a conference game. It really wasn't a road game because of all the Buckeye fans that travel there. Nebraska sells out their stadium every week in and week out, and they are a loud bunch of people. How Ohio State was able to run the ball, now you have two runners. You have J.K. Dobbins, but now you have somebody to spell him with Master Teague. they're the kind of the same type of runner, but they're just different enough that it's a change of pace when Master T comes in, that he can really catch a defense off guard. And then you throw in Justin Fields and with the run pass option, you know, that opens up a lot. The offensive line play has been great, especially the last 2 weeks. And honestly, I would expect a little bit more of the same against Michigan State, even though Michigan State's defensive line is going to be a much, much tougher matchup.
Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, it's tough to pick out any area where you feel like they might be lacking because the Buckeyes have just been that good over the first few games of the season. But do you think there is a specific area where you feel like they really need more improvement than they do everywhere else?
Third string long snapper? when you look at what they've done in the first 5 weeks of the season and the fact that, you know, they let up one touchdown in two games. That was the first first touchdown that Ohio State gave up in, I want to say it was 2.5 games. Was that late score against Nebraska? I mean, their defense has played well. The offense is laying up scoreboards like no other. Maybe if it's one thing, maybe it's keeping the dogs on them a little bit longer instead of calling the dogs off. You look in the second half against Nebraska, you're up 38-0. You settle for a field goal to make it 41. You hit another touchdown to make it 48-0. And then they don't score after that, and that was midway through the third quarter. So maybe just keeping the dogs on them a little bit longer. But other than that, you know, we all expected this to be a four-quarter game. It was a one-and-a-half-quarter game. And I think that will be an interesting thing is how's their stamina going to be when they actually do face a test, which I think they will on Saturday against Michigan State.
Defense has been incredible throughout the course of the season, but this will be an interesting test for them on Saturday night. Who defensively do you think is really going to be under the most amount of pressure? I mean, Michigan State runs the ball pretty well. Brian Lewerke can beat you with his arm, and he can beat you with his legs, but he's been a little bit inconsistent as well. Who do you think on the defensive side of things is going to be under the most amount of pressure?
I'm tired of saying the linebackers because they're continuing to impress me week in and week out, and I always give them as my answers. You can't say the defensive line because of how Chase Young has been playing. He's had 8 straight games with a sack getting back to last season, and his last 3 sacks have all been strip sacks. And sacks have gotten so boring to him that he now goes after the ball. He wants strip sacks, not just regular sacks. He wants to get the quarterback. He wants to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. That's what he's looking for. If anyone, I would say maybe the defensive back group, and they have to really pay attention to what Lewerke does. Maybe put a spy on him, a safety as a spy on Lewerke, just to eliminate that little bit of a run threat. The one thing that Lewerke is really good at is third and long. And that's something that is different for a lot of college football teams. Normally, you want to get teams in a third and long situation. Lewerke knows how to get himself out of those situations and convert on third and sevens, third and tens. So that's going to be one group I think I pay attention to a little bit more is how they work their game plan on third and long situations.
What concerns the Buckeyes most about Sparty on Saturday? Michigan State's got a very good defense, as you alluded to earlier, but what concerns Ohio State the most about Sparty?
I think Michigan State's defense. I mean, this is going to be the best defense, especially defensive line Ohio State has faced and probably going to face up until Wisconsin or probably even Penn State. This will be a very good test with Kevin Willekes. Ryan Day just said he's a production machine. He just goes after it and gets tackles, gets sacks, gets everything. He is a constant threat in the backfield when he rushes. So that's going to be the big thing that the Buckeyes have to worry about. You know, Michigan State has played their tight quarter defense or quarter half defense with their defensive backs for so long and for so much. They know where their weaknesses are. But they also know how to fill in those weaknesses. They know how to disguise their weaknesses to make it look like a strength. So it keeps the offense confused. You know, and if they see one thing's working for the offense, they're going to take that away and make the offense think and go, all right, what else can we do? Is there anything else we can do? So, you know, Michigan State's defense is very good in that sense. So that's going to be my big matchup is how can Ohio State get past a very, very tough Michigan State defense, especially when they have to face Kevin Willekes.
This is a defense, too, in Michigan State that was touted by many publications and experts at the beginning of the season as one of the absolute best units in the country. That defensive line, pretty stout, no question about that. I think we said this a week ago, but I guess it's worth bringing up again. I mean, is it safe to say that this is going to be their toughest test to date? You'd like to think so, no?
Absolutely, no doubt about it. You know, we said that last week against Nebraska, and it turned out completely different. So we might as well swing another bat at it. Yes, I think this will be their toughest test. This is a 25th-ranked team that probably should be ranked a little bit higher, if you ask me. They've had issues offensively. They struggled with Indiana, putting them away. That 40-31 score is a little bit deceiving because they scored on a very late strip sack at the last play of the game when Indiana was trying to go for a Hail Mary. So it was more like 34-31 at the end of the game, not 40-31. So, looking at how Indiana attacked them, I think Ohio State can do the same thing, and I think they will do the same thing, just add a little bit more of the running game to it.
Before we get to your prediction, want to get your thoughts on what you might be hearing about Ohio adhering to its own version of the Fair Play Act. And, of course, that was passed a couple days ago in California, and there are some rumors out there about Ohio considering adapting its own version of that Fair Play Act. Are you hearing any talk about that down on our state capitol?
I know there's talk about Anthony Gonzalez, who's now in Ohio government, wanting to get behind one not just for Ohio but nationally. The California bill doesn't go into effect until 2023. We were able to talk to Gene Smith a little bit on Tuesday. He's the athletic director for Ohio State, but he is also leading a work group through the NCAA to try to see how the NCAA can help regulate this, how they can regulate this, how they can make it so that it's fair to everybody, so there's not a big gap between athletes and schools and programs and states and all that. You know, he went as far to mention that, hey, if this goes through in 2023 and the NCAA doesn't have one or Ohio doesn't have one, yes, this is going to affect me as far as scheduling California schools. Probably the same with Florida if theirs passes. And now there's talk of one in Pennsylvania. So, you know, this he readily admits the NCAA is way behind the eight ball on this one. But he does says their findings of a group, they will present their findings to the NCAA at the end of October, October 29th, I believe he said. And from then on, it's up to the NCAA's hands. But I think they do need to do something if they want to prevent, you know, the end of what I think could be the NCAA.
All right, Dunny, good stuff. That's going to be a lot of fun to follow that story as it continues to get legs. We can't let you go, though, without getting your prediction for this Saturday. Primetime game, Steve Bailey's going to be there. And I guess before we get to your prediction, for a guy that's experiencing his first, not only Ohio State football game, but his first college football game, you have any advice or any tips for him as he attends Saturday night's game between the Buckeyes and the Spartans?
Get there early. Try to go to the Skull Session, which is the band warm-up show inside St. John Arena. That's usually about 2.5 hours before kickoff, so it should be around 5 o'clock or so. It's always a good time, and it's always loud in there. The team comes in, and that's kind of like the last time you see the team before you go into the stadium and you see them play the Spartans. But get there early and just experience everything. Watch the band. The band is something else to watch. I get goosebumps every time I watch them perform Script Ohio, you know, when I'm at the games. But, you know, experience the band, experience everything. Enjoy it. Have fun. And hopefully you have fun and your team comes out the victor.
See, that's great advice. And Dunny's much, much too modest to admit this, but he's a celebrity down in Columbus, and he gets invited to many, many a tailgates, but because he's working for WBNS-TV in Columbus on just about every single game day that I could imagine going back almost a decade, he has to say no. He can't participate in the tailgates for all the obvious reasons, but if you see Dunny down in Columbus, Steve, he might be able to help you out and let you know where to go.
That's what I'm thinking, Dunny. I don't imbibe in beverages, so I will be straight-laced and fancy-free. But, yeah, that Skull Sessions, that's definitely something I think I might want to check out.
No, no doubt about it. And they do the Buckeye Walk afterwards, which is when they walk from St. John to the stadium. And that's always cool to see just, you know, how big players are like Chase Young and Jonathan Cooper. And you're just going, wow, these guys are still in college.
Well, we've given you plenty of time now to think about your predictions. So who do you have on Saturday night and by how much?
I have the Buckeyes winning. Every time I give a prediction, it's just a little bit off. I'm going to go Ohio State 38, Michigan State 14.
Okay, so you're still predicting a blowout victory. And, boy, the last line I saw had Ohio State, I think, laying 20. That
yes,
may have
that's
changed.
Last I saw as well.
But, yeah, that's a lot.
And that's a lot of points.
It opened at 17.
Wow, okay, well.
And then it went up to 20 in a hurry.
Wow.
And Michigan State's ranked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's a ton of points for two ranked teams.
Absolutely. When you look back at the last two games, Michigan State, the last time they scored a touchdown against Ohio State was in 2016. In 2017, Jeez. Ohio State won 48-3. And last year, Ohio State won 24-6 up in East Lansing.
Yeah.
So you're just being modest in your prediction.
What was that?
You're just being modest in your prediction then.
No, I do think Brian Lewerke, to me, Brian Lewerke is like the Aaron Kraft of the Ohio State basketball team. It's like he's never able to graduate. He's always there. So he knows how to play. He knows how to go against Ohio State. He will not be intimidated by the horseshoe at all. So I think he will come in and have a very solid game plan. And I think they'll execute it very well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be in the spotlight on Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun. Dunny,
absolutely.
As always, my friend, we appreciate the time. As always, thank you for joining us, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.